Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Wrestling Uncensored. Tonight on the show, we recap the April 30th edition of Friday Night SmackDown. Daniel Bryan leaving the show. Roman Reigns still champion. And where's Edge? Where's Edge? Wasn't Edge supposed to be on the show tonight? What's up, Big Johnny? How you doing, my boy?
Pretty good. I never heard about Edge being on the show tonight. When did you hear this?
I don't know. I thought Edge was supposed to be on the show tonight. I thought I saw WWE advertise him. Maybe I'm mistaken. I thought last week they said, oh, Edge next week. No?
I don't remember that. I just remember the title match. That's pretty much it. I think the IC title match, I think they may have kind of mentioned. That's about it.
Okay. Where is it?
That's pretty much all the show was, too.
They're using his stuff. They're using that concerto. Edge hasn't been seen since Mania. Where's Edge? Is he going to come back?
Yeah, Edge isn't done. They're just waiting for the right time to bring him back. Right now, it's the storyline that you don't really need Edge. You know, took a concerto, like... You know, Daniel Bryan came back, but, you know, Edge doesn't come back right away. Not everyone takes coming back right away from such a devastating shot. Daniel Bryan didn't come back from this concerto now, that's for sure.
That's right. Daniel Bryan definitely going to be gone for a while now. He's been banished from SmackDown by the Tribal Chief, by the head of the table, Roman Reigns. Roman beat him fair and square tonight. No interference. No nonsense. It was a clean victory for Roman Reigns in the main event of SmackDown. A guillotine choke submission. Bryan didn't tap. He went to sleep. Could you tell me at what point choke holds were allowed in professional wrestling? When did we start allowing this? Because I remember in the Royal Rumble video game for the Super Nintendo, when you wanted to do the choke hold, which was the, like, you know, the Homer choke, you know, you could only do it when the referee was down. You had to, like, hit the ropes and then knock the ref over. You remember this. You had to knock the ref over, or if you wanted to use a steel chair that you could find outside the ring in the Royal Rumble video game, you had to knock the ref over or play no DQ. Because if you played with the disqualification rules, you could not hit, I think it was R to do the choke or L to do the eye gouge. Both illegal maneuvers in the old school days of professional wrestling, but nowadays with the... You know, popularization of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and the UFC and mixed martial arts and all of that. Undertaker had the Hell's Gate Gogo Plata chokehold, and now Roman Reigns with the straight up guillotine choke. I don't know about chokeholds being allowed in professional wrestling, but it's definitely a thing that's here and doesn't seem like it's going away. But you remember the days when you weren't allowed to choke your opponent, right? You could squeeze his head, but if you got around the neck, I remember even sleeper holds, they would explain to you in great detail, you know, he can have his arm under the chin or a rear chin lock, you know, but you can't cross the arm across the neck because then it's a choke hold and then it's an illegal maneuver. You remember this, right? This isn't my, like, hazy memories of childhood. This did happen, right?
I remember Gorilla Monsoon used to always talk about on commentary. Like the difference of that. There's no question about that. However, I believe, I think it was Royal Rumble, I want to say 2000. I think it was Taz against Kurt Angle when Taz beat Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle complained that it was a chokehold that Taz used, the Taz mission, right? So I think that's kind of where things kind of changed a bit, where they let things kind of slide after. Because they said Taz mission, it was kind of tough to say if that was a sleeper or actual choke, so... They kind of started letting stuff slide after that.
It was Taz? Was it after Taz? I do remember that when Taz came in and did it to Angle. I got invaded there for a second, if you noticed.
It happens.
Was it around Taz, around the 2000s? But even then, after that, I think that they kind of went back to saying, oh, you're not allowed to do chokeholds. And even Undertaker, I remember at some point during the Hell's Gate deal, I think with Edge... Didn't Vicky Guerrero outlaw the move because she said it was a chokehold and it wasn't allowed when she was the GM of SmackDown?
Well, you've just seen it throughout the years. They've gradually like let things slide, and it's something that's just eventually has happened now in WWE. And you can blame like mixed martial arts for this. Like, it's kind of helped make these moves actually more acceptable in pro wrestling.
But I, as an MMA fan and as a pro wrestling fan, am always in favor of making those clear differences between MMA and pro wrestling. You know, in MMA, you're not allowed to strike an opponent in the back of the head. And you saw tonight, Roman Reigns had Daniel Bryan fully mounted, and Bryan turned onto his stomach, and Roman was still throwing those elbows and punches to Daniel Bryan, and even Pat McAfee on commentary saying, oh, he's hitting him in the back of the head. And I appreciated that because that's something that you know is so devastating. It's such a devastating move that even in the UFC, you're not allowed to do it. So strikes to the back of the head being allowed in professional wrestling, I think is cool. I just wish that they would, not allow chokeholds. I think it's cool to kind of separate it. And then if you do allow chokeholds, why doesn't everybody try to go for a choke at one time or another? That's the problem with it, is that if you allow that type of move, it's like, well, most people should be doing that then, because if you want to base it on the UFC, more literally, well, you should be doing chokeholds more often. And Bobby Lashley should never ever do a full Nelson for a submission hold to finish the match, right? You can't have it both ways. So I'd rather they kind of make the rules separate to differentiate themselves from mixed martial arts rather than kind of blur the lines and make it a little bit confusing. Because it is confusing. I think that you can make the wrestling better if you have a clear-cut set of rules that all the fans know and understand. I think that that's how you build angles in pro wrestling with the in-ring work, by making the rules mean something, right? But hey, that's just me. I'm just a long-time astute wrestling observer. What do I know? Right, Johnny?
Well, making the rules actually mean something, that means they actually have to follow rules. Like, I feel like this whole past week, I feel like I'm picking on WWE a bit, but like following rules, like there's so many times where it feels like there should be a DQ right in front of the referee and they always let it slide. I think this week it wasn't so bad, but they actually called the DQ actually this week when we saw it.
In what? For what? What was the DQ?
In the Big E match.
Yes, Commander Aziz pulling Big E out of the ring, which we'll get to. Commander Aziz. I
Well,
want
last week that didn't happen.
Really? What was the match where it didn't happen?
I
I
believe it
think.
was Tamina got pulled out of the ring, and they
Yeah.
didn't call the DQ. Just like got mad at Shayna, and that was it. And it's like, it should be a DQ. But now we
Yeah.
call it DQ.
Yeah.
Inconsistencies.
That's it. If they kept it more consistent, I think it would be easier for them to build off it when they do break the rules. It's more impactful when you have a clear-cut set of rules. But hey, that's not how it works in the WWE. Roman Reigns winning with his guillotine choke, putting Daniel Bryan to sleep with a chokehold, which is an effective move. I mean, sure, guillotine, great, but just remember a time when you weren't allowed to do these things in pro wrestling. Want to give a shout out to the members, Craig Paquette. I see you, Douglas Hepburn, as well. Become a member of the YouTube channel. Don't forget to become a member of the channel. Support the channel. Smash that like button. Hit it. Hit the like button on this video. I see you watching. Like the video. You like it. You like it. Subscribe as well. We need more subscribers. I'm gonna give away sneakers if we get more subscribers. So let's go. What did I say? 10,000 by the end of the year, and I'm giving away a pair of sneakers. So there you go. And some other stuff. Who knows? Who knows what I might give away to the members? All right. The more members we have, the more subscribers we have, the more prizes and fun that we have here on the Ringside Report Network. That's how it works. So like the video and so on. I thought the main event was good, though. Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, it was a good match. I just felt like, Roman was going to win the whole time. And then when he comes out with new music and a new entrance, you're like, oh, well, you're not going to have him lose now, right? You're not going to have him lose after they have this new, presentation for the champion. He's not going to come out first night with his new music and new kind of walk to the ring. It was very similar, but still new music. And then just lose the belt and then go forward with this new music as a losing character, Roman Reigns. Like, that's not happening. So that, I think, you know, for me was a bit of a spoiler. Like, I felt like Roman was going to win. We talked about it last week when this match was set up. If Bryan loses, he leaves SmackDown. Well, he could go to Raw or NXT or, you know, whatever. Or leave the company altogether, which, you know, his contract's up in September. So that's a possibility as well. So we didn't expect Bryan to win going in. I didn't think Bryan was going to win. At no point did I think Bryan was going to win. Of course, as a diehard Daniel Bryan fan that I am, I cannot help it. I am a mark for great professional wrestling, and I think that he is a great professional wrestler. I love his style, and I'm a big fan of his. And, you know, I'm set up for disappointment as a Daniel Bryan fan. We had WrestleMania 30, and since then, it's been kind of rocky if you're a Daniel Bryan fan. Even before then, it was rocky being a Daniel Bryan fan with the way the WWE booked him and treated him. Right? So it's been a rough road with Daniel Bryan, so you kind of are expecting defeat here tonight. But when they give Roman the new music, you're like, oh, well, that's it, man. It's over. Just finish this match and get it over with. So I was enjoying the wrestling match. It was a good wrestling match between two guys. But at no point did I feel like Daniel Bryan was maybe going to walk away champion tonight, and that's a little bit of a bummer. I think that had they not debuted the new music for Roman, there would have been a little bit of belief there. Like, oh, maybe. Roman hasn't been pinned in 500 days. The last guy to do it was Baron Corbin, which is crazy. Saw that on Twitter today. I was like, what? It's about time then. Let's go. But, you know, Roman comes out with the new music. You're like, all right, well, he's definitely winning now. You thought he'd win. I was like 80% sure that he was going to win. And then when he came out with the music, I was like, oh, 100% sure. Definitely. So, you know, I think it's good that he has new music. He's been coming out to that old Shield theme forever. It's good that he's finally got a new song. The song was, you know, whatever, but WWE songs I don't tend to like right away. They don't really grow on you, like, immediately, right? You kind of got to hear them a few times. Very few pro wrestling songs you hear right away and you're like, yes, this is awesome. You know, Stone Cold song, the glass breaking one, that's one that, you know, you knew was fire as soon as it came out. Even AJ Styles theme song, as soon as that one hit, you're like, this is pretty good. Jericho's song for WWE, you know, like there's a few that just kind of right away they hit, but most of the time it kind of takes a while for you to warm up to these wrestling songs. So, you know, whatever, the Roman Reigns song, it is what it is. I don't love it, but maybe I will over time. Kind of boring instrumental song. The match itself was good, but, you know, giving him that new song before the match, any hope I had was dashed right there. Johnny, what'd you think of the match? And obviously, at no point did you think Bryan was going to win.
Super chat.
Right?
Well, shout out to Antoinette for the super chat. And I agree with exactly what she says right there.
She loves
it. I agree.
Roman.
Like, the new music's bad. It's not good. Like, he's the top guy in the company, and, like, that's his song. It's kind of disgraceful, actually. Like, it should be than that. Like, I wouldn't have changed it. Like, they shouldn't have changed it. It'd be that bad. They need to change it back if it's going to be like that, to be honest.
Really?
But I thought the match was fantastic, though. That was, you know, arguably that may have been their best singles match right there that we saw. I mean, the Fastlane match was pretty good, but this was good. And I like the fact that it was just clean. Like, it was just them one-on-one, just straight up. I like that. Like, I'm a little surprised by that, but that's what I think what made it better. It was just straight up them going back and forth on each other, some good action. Like, if anything, like, they shouldn't have had so many video packages leading up to this, all the people talking. It's fine that they had that, but there was too much of that. And maybe put more time on the match because I wanted to see more of the match. Though I think it was, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, it was
for
long.
The most part, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but could have been longer, you know, because I felt like there was so much, like, talking, just hyping the match up, which is fine. They love to milk everything, but I just would have loved to see more because it was good stuff. It was definitely, obviously, the match of the night. There's no question.
Yeah, it was definitely the match of the night, and it was a good wrestling match. But to me, I feel like the Fastlane one was better because there was more hype and there was more wonder about it. You know, you went in thinking, well, maybe. And the whole time I was watching that match, I thought, maybe Bryan here, maybe, because how else do they fit him into WrestleMania? And then, of course, it was just a triple threat, so whatever. But, you know, it felt like at Fastlane, maybe they would have given him the belt. And I was more excited about that. But tonight, like, yeah, it just didn't have the hype, didn't have that anticipation. What they actually did in the ring, like, yeah, I agree with you. Technically, it was really good, and they worked hard, and yeah. But as far as the match and my feeling, right? Wrestling, it's art. It's supposed to make you feel. I didn't feel very much watching this match as a Daniel Bryan fan. I had no emotion. And that sucks. Because Daniel Bryan wrestling a top champion for a championship with his kind of career on the line should have more emotion than it did tonight. They put that stipulation up there to kind of make you think, oh, well, Bryan can't lose. He'll leave SmackDown if he loses. But everybody's like, yeah, whatever. You have like six other shows. Who cares? So it just didn't work for me. It didn't work like as far as, oh, this match is so crazy. I love it and I'm excited about it. I wasn't. I wasn't. I thought Fastlane was better because it had that, you know? It had emotion. And I want to be emotionally invested in these matches. And most of the time I am with Daniel Bryan, but I wasn't tonight. Which, that's not good, right, John? I mean, I'm the target demo for this match tonight, and I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, but you were set up to be disappointed because you knew he was going to lose. So no matter what, the end result was you to be sad. So whether it was a 5-star match or a 3-star match, you were just going to be sad either way. So it didn't matter. I just like that this is having so many shenanigans. Like that's what kind of took away from Fastlane was there was so much shenanigans with Edge and Jey Uso, and that the fact that they did the same finish earlier in the night. At least with this was just like it's by itself. It's just these two guys in the ring. It's kind of a rarity in WWE where you see that nowadays. So to me, it was just refreshing.
Yeah, but part of what makes a wrestling match great is the feeling and the anticipation and the wonder of like who's gonna win, how's this gonna go down, what's the finish gonna be? I didn't have that watching this, right? Like, I get what you're saying, and I do agree with you fundamentally. Like, yeah, the match was good, but as far as like my feel on it, like wrestling is supposed to make you feel too, right? You're supposed to kind of wonder, like, what's going to happen here? None of that tonight. None of that. So I was disappointed. And then, of course, Bryan loses. Like, if he had won, mind blown, right? It would have been crazy. Would have been nuts. But they're not doing that. They're not doing anything crazy. They're not doing anything to shock you. They're not doing anything out of the ordinary. They're not booking anything that's creatively interesting that makes you feel any kind of emotion. I felt way more emotion watching the Kenny Omega Rich Swann match last week for the belts than I did here tonight. Because there's real stakes with the Kenny and Rich Swann match, and tonight the stakes were obviously fabricated. Like Kenny and Rich Swann, it's like goddamn. Somebody is actually going to walk away as the AEW and Impact World Champions. And, you know, whatever. Whatever that means. But it means something. You're the champion of both companies, and there was going to be a winner. Tonight, the stakes were, well, either Roman is still going to be champion or Bryan's going to be champion. And, you know, if Bryan loses, well, then he's banished from SmackDown. But what does that really mean? So now Bryan's gone from SmackDown. Does anybody care? Even me, diehard Daniel Bryan fan, don't care. It's like, oh, well, I guess I'll see him on Raw in a while, or maybe they'll put him on NXT and I'll have to watch that show. That's kind of the worst part of this, is that I only really watch Raw and SmackDown. I kind of watch NXT from time to time. You know, I'll kind of pay attention, but I'm not trying to watch NXT. And if Brian goes there, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'll watch NXT. I'll try to keep up with what he's doing, but... And that's a possibility, too, which would not be fun. I don't know. It's just, like, the end result is, like, oh, Brian's not on SmackDown anymore. Okay. So is he going to be on Raw, like, next month or something? Like, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. There's no stakes. Didn't feel anything. I want to feel, man. It's art. It's supposed to make you have emotions.
I'm kind of surprised you say that. I mean, I think it's very interesting if you went to NXT, the matches you could have there. I think it's very intriguing what could happen there, but I guess NXT doesn't entice you whatsoever. Even on Raw, I think it'd be very interesting.
Is he going to work Dexter Lumis? Like, really, what do you want to see?
I wouldn't mind seeing him against Ciampa. I think that'd be pretty good. As much as I don't think Gargano's great as a character, as a wrestler, he's pretty good. Him against Gargano in a match would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Him against Cole as well. Like, I think they wrestled already on SmackDown just a little bit, but it'd be fun to see it again, actually.
I'd rather see Brian versus Drake Wirtz in a debate of logic. No?
I don't want to see that. I want to see him actually wrestling. And I think in NXT, like, that kind of style, that'd be very interesting to see Brian, what he would do in that kind of style. Because it's more just kind of do what you want kind of thing. That's NXT. So I think Brian could have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I think that that's a possibility, and it would definitely help him uplift some of these guys and make them stars. And, you know, that's kind of what he's interested in doing. He doesn't really want to be a top guy right now. He's very giving. He's looking to elevate and help people in the company and do different things creatively. And we'll see what happens with Daniel Bryan. But he's talking all sorts of things about what his future may hold. And he's talking about possibly wrestling for WWE while wrestling for other companies, which doesn't seem possible, but who knows? There were rumors of MLW and NXT possibly working together, but seems like that's just a rumor right now. There was one report, but then another report saying it's not true. So I don't know what's going on there, but I don't see Daniel Bryan like working for AEW and then working for NXT, right? Like, that's not going to work. He seems to be intrigued by all the different wrestling companies working together outside of WWE. That seems to be something that he wants to do, kind of venture out and work for different places now. He doesn't seem to want to work a full-time WWE schedule anymore. He said he's done with that, and his contract is up in September. So I really wonder what happens with Daniel Bryan. I wonder what they do with him. Do they just sit him home until he signs a new contract? And if he doesn't, just sit him at home? Don't bring him back, you know? Do they do a Dean Ambrose-type tour where he's, like, on every show just up until he leaves? Remember that? That was super weird where they just wouldn't let Ambrose leave the company. They're like, come on, one more show. Every time you thought he was done, he would just appear again. I wonder how they treat Daniel Bryan now where he's openly talking about exploring other options and working for WWE maybe, but also maybe working for another company. And his contract is up now in like 3-4 months. What, May, June, July, August. Right? Like 4 months. I wonder what happens with Daniel Bryan. What's the future? Because they just took him off SmackDown. The show that he's on, the show that he's been on, the show that you would expect to see him on, he's now no longer allowed on. So what do? Where does he go? When do you see him again? Do we see him again in a WWE ring? You know? I don't know. I'd say probably, but we don't really know, right, John? It's unclear what the future is for Daniel Bryan.
It is, but I expect you'll see him back. Like, if not NXT, hopefully Raw, because Raw definitely needs Daniel Bryan, I think. So I think if Daniel Bryan shows up, a lot more people will be interested in Raw. Raw needs something to get interested in right now, so... Hopefully you get Daniel Bryan. I think you'll actually enjoy watching Raw more if you had Daniel Bryan, correct?
I don't know. I mean, probably. But that show is so poorly booked. Like, if I had my choice of what show I'd want to see Daniel Bryan on, I think that choice is pretty obvious. Right? Like, if I had a choice of what weekly wrestling show I would insert Daniel Bryan into, it'd be Dynamite. You know? It'd be AEW Dynamite. You talked about all the dream matches he could have in NXT? Forget that. Think about the dream matches he could have in AEW. There's a lot of good stuff he could do in AEW. Him and Kenny. Him and Lance Archer. Him and, I mean, just any number of people that he could wrestle. Jungle Boy.
Super chat.
So many people. If there was one show that I'd like to see Daniel Bryan show up on, it would be AEW Dynamite. 100%. Way more than any other pro wrestling show that I'm watching. Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, on AEW Dynamite would be a game changer. Bryan versus Christian. Bryan and Christian versus the Young Bucks. Like, Bryan Jericho. There's some good stuff to do. Shout out to Roy Knight for the super chat. Appreciate you, Roy. Roy out in Toronto. Shout out to everybody in Ontario watching us right now. Right, Daniel Bryan on AEW Dynamite. Tell me that wouldn't be a lot of fun.
It'd be different. It would definitely shake up things. No question about it. But I find NXT, that's very appealing. I'd really like to see that. So many matches there for NXT.
More?
And again, that style of wrestling.
More.
There's so much. There's a lot of talent there in NXT. I mean, because then you take into consideration NXT UK, the guys you could wrestle there. Man, that's a lot, man.
Walter and...
Dragunov?
Mm-hmm. How about Darby Allin? I see your Walter and Dragunov, and I counter you with Darby Allin and Sting. You know who could have a great match with Sting at 62 years of age? Sting? Daniel Bryan. Could carry the Stinger to a classic. I mean, talk about dream matches. NXT doesn't have a Sting, you know? They don't have MJF. They don't have Darby.
Well, I meet your Sting, which is good. Sting's good, but like, let's say William Regal wants to have one more match.
He's not going to. William... Don't bring nonsense lies into the conversation. Let's say, let's say Stone Cold wants to have another match. Let's say The Undertaker wants to come back next year and he wants to wrestle Daniel Bryan. Okay, you could bring out a lot of things, John, that aren't real. Don't lie to me or the Wrestling Uncensored Universe. I will not allow it.
It's not a lie that The Undertaker said he wished he was at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's not a lie.
Yeah, I know. You think he'll show up next year?
He should. It's in Texas. Makes sense.
The Undertaker. Bryan would be a good opponent for him if he's still in the company. AJ would be a good opponent for him in just, you know, a wrestling match. I don't know who else. Riddle, maybe. Riddle's getting better.
Well, I think someone said it the week when we were talking about it. I mean, the Fiend makes the most sense, right? I mean, that's the match to make.
Didn't
I know you say
Bald,
but it's true. Yeah, but Randy Orton's worked Bray Wyatt twice at Mania, and they still did it.
Yeah, they didn't need to. I don't need to see the Fiend. Period. Like, that's my comment on Bray Wyatt. I don't need to see him ever again. No. So Roman Reigns.
A lot of people want to see it.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I'm just telling you what I feel like, okay? I'm not telling you what other people's opinions are. I'm telling you my opinion on Bray Wyatt. And I think Bray Wyatt absolutely sucks. He can't cut the mustard, pal. All right? Go buy JoJo another mini horse, fucking Bray Wyatt. Roman Reigns beats Daniel Bryan tonight in the main event to retain the Universal title. After the match, Roman goes for the concerto on Daniel Bryan. Cesaro comes out. Zazaro comes out to make the save. Can I just call him Zazzaro from now on? Remember last week when Seth
it
called him
pretty stupid.
Zazzaro.
Yeah, well, Rawls is an idiot. Like, don't say that. Like,
since last week, my son has been coming up to me at random times and just saying, Zazzaro! He thought it was the funniest thing he's ever seen. That and Nia Jax falling in the water. He liked that, too. You know.
It doesn't take much these days.
Well, you know, for three, almost four-year-olds, that's the kind of humor that they're into. Mispronouncing the wrestlers' names and Nia Jax slipping in water and falling down. You thought that was hilarious. I, on the other hand, did not think it was very funny.
I'm glad someone likes the show.
Well, that's it.
Or
that's
likes
it.
Humor.
That's who. That's what. That's exactly it. We're not laughing. We're grown men, and we're like, this is not funny. Meanwhile, a little four-year-old boy, he's like, you know, it's a real knee slapper. He's loving it. So. Somebody thinks it's funny. Somebody thinks the Nia Jax slipping in water and falling down and looking ridiculous is funny. And it's four-year-olds.
Well, so, she kind of slipped again tonight, right? Well, they lost, so it's kind of a slip.
But look, they market a lot of their merch to children. I mean, look how many toys my son has. Oh, he's got all the wrestlers. He's got a Nia Jax. He's got a Shayna. He's got all of them. He doesn't have the sexy muscle friends, yes, though. We don't have Mandy or Dana.
You and your son. You always got to put that like it's like you and your son.
What do you mean?
You even said it. We.
Well, I buy them, and then I give them to him, and then he plays with them. I mean, I enjoy buying them because, like, oh, look at this wrestler. I'll say I enjoy buying them, but, you know, they're his toys that he plays with. I don't play with action figures, well, John. I'm a grown man.
And then there's the action figures just for you, though, too, as well.
I have a few, but those are for other purposes. Those are for, you know, I have a couple. I'm just mostly Hulk Hogan because I love Hulk Hogan. Am I building a Hulk Hogan shrine? Maybe. I'm not telling you. That remains to be seen on the show eventually. You will all see my Hulk Hogan collection, and it will be magnificent. So Zazzaro made the save, helping Daniel Bryan there for a moment, but Jey Uso attacked Zazzaro, and then they tied him up in the ropes, and Roman then hit Daniel Bryan with the concerto as Zazzaro watched in anger. Seth Rollins wasn't around. He cut a promo, though, and he challenged Zazzaro to another match. So it will be Seth versus Zazzaro next week on SmackDown. Throwback SmackDown. Which, yeah. So it'll be Zazzaro versus Roman Reigns for the Universal title at WrestleMania Backlash. That's not official, but I do assume that now Daniel Bryan's out of the picture. I believe Zazzaro will beat Seth again next week, and then it will be Cesaro versus Roman at WrestleMania Backlash, right?
More than likely. Does this mean we're getting the fist back next week, or
the fist? Yeah, the big like SmackDown fist thing. I don't know. Maybe it didn't. It seem to you like they were like they had Vince doing commentary in the throwback SmackDown, you know, like they had Vince on commentary, and it did seem kind of like early 90s. It seemed like they were taking you back to a time when SmackDown didn't exist. Did it not? Because SmackDown like came out, what, 98, 99, 2000 maybe?
Yeah, 99.
But didn't it seem like this was for SmackDown 1992? You know what I mean? Just like the time period was a little off of the throwback SmackDown. Because Vince was never on commentary for SmackDown. Like, he was fully Mr. McMahon by the time SmackDown debuted. Right? So, it was weird. Mm-hmm. It was a weird presentation for throwback SmackDown. Taking you back to a time when SmackDown was not a show. The Rock was a child. And he had not said SmackDown yet. Right?
Well, this is classic WWE changing history like they usually do. Like, if you watch the A&E stuff, like, they change history for that just to suit their own narrative. That's what they do.
Right. But that's what they're doing, right? Like, it was super weird. It was super weird. The time period that they were trying to reference, because it's not at all a time period where SmackDown existed. I'm seeing people in the chat talking about old school wrestling. Bob Cote says, Lucifer biting Macho Man. The snake's name was Damien, Bob. Jake the Snake's snake is Damien. And yes, it was on at noon on CFCF 12. I was watching WWF Superstars at the same time. I was a little brother back in the day, watching WWF Superstars, drinking my milk, saying my prayers, eating my vitamins, watching Little Hulk Hogan. Damien the Snake, though, right?
Yeah, I believe it, right? Yeah. What happened to Bugs Bunny? Like, is that Bad Bunny? Is he getting canceled?
No, Bad Bunny's okay. I saw him on a Corona ad with Snoop Dogg. You see that? He's on, like, a beer commercial with Snoop.
Didn't see that, but Snoop's everywhere. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, Snoop.
What a
everywhere.
Year for Snoop so far.
What a year for Bad Bunny. Forget Snoop. What about Bad Bunny? This guy's everywhere. He beat Miz Snoop's at WrestleMania. Who's Snoop ever beat?
Snoop's... Well, he beat some guy on Dynamite, didn't he? Like, and they got WWE to pay him twice as much to be in a video game. Like, what a great year for Snoop.
Bob's saying Earthquake killed Damien. So was it a different snake? Was the snake called Lucifer? Did they change the name of the snake? I thought it was always Damien.
Yeah, I don't remember them changing the name, but maybe they did.
Maybe Bob is remembering something that we do not. I also, don't forget, I was about 5 or 6 when these things were happening. So my memory, you know, it's a long time ago and I was pretty young. Right? When that happened, that was like early 90s. I was pretty young back then. Bob might be right. I don't know. So Cesaro versus Seth next week on Throwback SmackDown. Probably Cesaro versus Roman at the pay-per-view. We opened the show tonight with Bianca Belair doing an in-ring promo, welcoming us to the coolest, hottest, dopest show on Fox, SmackDown! And I was like, is it though? Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode show up, and then the Street Profits show up and say basically nothing, and then Bayley shows up without a microphone, gets into the ring, takes Bianca's mic. Bayley just starts laughing on Mike, and then Bianca smacks her, and they brawl a little bit, and then we have a commercial. We come back to the match. It's a 6-person tag. Street Profits and Bianca beat the Dirty Dogs and Bayley. Rude tries to roll up Dawkins with a handful of tights. Bianca then whipped Rude with her hair. Dawkins hit a spine buster then on Rude, and then Montez hit a splash for the 1-2-3 on Rude. For the win there for the Street Profiting Men and Bianca. Do you have any thoughts at all on this segment, this match, whatever? Like, I could not care less about any of this. This was awful. Bianca telling us that this is the coolest show on Fox? Like, if it is, Fox has a real problem. How is this the hottest show on Fox? What is going on with the Fox Network? What else is on Fox? Anything better than SmackDown? I mean, honestly, it's the only show that I watch weekly on Fox, so I guess it must be the best. Isn't Bob's Burgers on Fox, though? Bob's Burgers is way better than SmackDown. Like, by far. I mean, they don't have Daniel Bryan on the show, so it's hard to compete, but I gotta say, the writing and the creative direction is a lot tighter on Bob's Burgers. Especially these days. Right? Bob's Burgers, better than SmackDown?
I'd say The Simpsons and Family Guy are better than like SmackDown or most WWE. So,
even today.
Yeah, of course. Like,
even modern Simpsons. I agree with you. I think even this, you know, I've seen a few Simpsons from this season. It's not so bad. It's better than SmackDown.
But, I mean, you know, those are iconic shows. It's a little bit different. Is, you know, SmackDown's, you know, it's still the best thing that we have right now in WWE. There's no question about it. And, like, this wasn't great. Bianca, like, isn't great on promos, and that's why they kept it short with her. Just let her do her little catchphrase lines, and that's it. I just thought the whole, like, segment wasn't a great lead-up to the match, though. Like, only letting Bayley slap her, like, they kind of showed you they didn't want Bayley to overpower her in the promo, because like if she overtalked her, like she couldn't have anything to say back, right? So that's why they just had her laugh, which is kind of too bad, because like it just goes to show you Bayley's just there to put over Bianca, not to really like have a feud.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. 100%, right? Bayley is just there to be Bianca's first title defense after WrestleMania. I mean, I think Sasha at some point is going to come back and it'll be Sasha and Bianca again, but we're just going to wait for that. I think they're just giving Sasha some time off. It doesn't feel like much of anything. Yeah, of course it's sad. Bayley's a much bigger talent than just to be, you know, Bianca's first feud. It should be Carmella.
Well, I don't know for a pay-per-view, though. I think a pay-per-view, Bayley without question, but, I mean, like, let Bayley be herself. Like, don't, like, handicap her with this. Like, that's what kind of sucks about it. And, like, you know, it wasn't okay for Bayley to attack the guys, but it was okay for Bianca to, like, pick up Dolph Ziggler. Again, like, you know, inconsistency with their rules. Like, the match was just standard.
Yeah.
At best. It was just, you know, typical. It wasn't terrible, but it was just, you know, standard. And just the whole, like, well, guys can only touch guys, girls can only touch girls. Like, it just kind of made it a little bit complicated in the end. And to have, like, the faces kind of cheat to win, it kind of took away their win a bit by doing that.
Guys can only touch guys, girls can only touch girls. Line of the night from Johnny North. As soon as you said it, I was like, huh? Patrick C. Hamilton.
They said it on commentary.
Patrick dropping a I know. That's funny. Patrick dropping a super chat. Says, great ending my week with you guys, even though you are watching Raw for me. Not sure I can handle it anymore on Mondays. All right. Yeah, Mondays is rough. Mondays is rough.
It's a long show.
He can handle it. Not sure he can handle it anymore on Mondays. He's not watching Raw. Maybe he can't handle me even reviewing Raw anymore because it's so disappointing.
I don't think he said that. I think it's just watching Raw itself.
Yeah, it's bad. Raw is way worse than SmackDown, right? Raw is way, way worse. Thank you,
Well,
Patrick,
this was a fine show to watch, though. Like, I had no problem watching this episode of SmackDown.
No, it was fine. You know, a little six-person tag was whatever. A lot of build for the Daniel Bryan-Roman Reigns match, which was a good, solid in-ring match. Daniel Bryan, best wrestler in the company, wrestling for the world title. Carrying Roman Reigns. Not so bad. Bryan did a promo backstage about winning the title. He said his first defense would be against Cesaro. Seth challenged Cesaro to a match next week. Yep, that didn't happen. Natty and Tamina. So Nia and Shayna are being interviewed backstage, and then Natty and Tamina attack them right before the match. Again, heelish thing for the babyface team to do, and then they wind up winning. Natty and Tamina beat Nia and Shayna in a non-title match. Tamina hitting the snooka splash on Shayna for the 1-2-3. Yeah, this match was not great. A little awkward. A lot of the times, you know, I know they want to do Nia versus Tamina because they have like a similar, you know, backstory with the family and everything, and they are both big and strong, so it's kind of like the battle of the whatever. But when they're in the ring together, it is sloppy. Like, it is awkward. It is weird. At one point, what happened? Tamina's on the top rope. Nia, like, headbutts her and then stumbles over to tag Shayna, who's, like, in the corner, and then Shayna has to come and get Tamina. Like, have you ever seen that before? Where you have somebody in a corner, just sitting on the corner, and then you make a tag to get out? It was weird.
Well, what I found really stood out was just Tamina's forearms. Like, they're really sloppy. Like, I understand, like, she gets fatigued and all that, but, like, it just looks really bad the way she's throwing them. And, like, they're trying with camera angles to hide it, but when they can't even hide it, that tells you how bad they are. So they really need to work on that. Like, keeping her in tag matches is the best thing for her, but even that, like, it's really showing that, you know, it's not great. However, this was definitely improving from last week. Like, I don't know about you, but last week was, like, atrocious to watch. This was at least, you know, not the worst thing I've ever seen from them. If that makes up for anything.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. Natty and Tamina.
Hey, people want an all-women show. Like, you're going to crap on this?
What do you mean?
This is like some of the best women wrestlers they have right there in the ring.
Is it? I mean, Natty and Shayna.
Right? They'll say Nia as well, without question.
Well, they would say that, but it's not true, right? Who's talking about all women show? Why do they want an all women show? Why separate the women from the men? So you have an all women show that's like WWE Ladies Night or whatever, and then Raw and SmackDown is like for the dudes? That seems kind of unfair. I know people are saying, whoa, the women need more spotlight and this is the way to do it, but is it? You're going to put them on an island by themselves, like 205 Live, a show that nobody will watch type of thing? You know, like, I don't know. I don't think that's a smart move. You're going to put them on another show that'll be even more, like, terribly booked? Another poorly booked WWE program? You really want to stretch them even more thin than they're stretched? An all-women's show? I think it's a bad idea. How about having more women on Raw and SmackDown and booking them better? How about that? How about focusing on your divisions a little bit more? How about paying attention? How about doing some stories that are a little bit better? You know? I don't think you need an all-women's show.
Super chat.
I think it's unfair to do that to the women, quite frankly. Because then you're just like saying, oh, well, Raw's for dudes now. Or, you know, sometimes women on Raw. But I think an all-women's pay-per-view once a year is a cool idea. You know, have a way to focus on them once a year, like just them on pay-per-view. Because, you know, the pay-per-views are usually 75 to 80% men. So, yeah, they should get a once-a-year pay-per-view. But I think the Raw and SmackDown shows should just be more focused on women. I think you should have more focus on the women. Like, on Raw, the women's wrestling is far more compelling than the men. Like, far more compelling. Just make Raw more about the women because the men are not carrying their weight. And the women have a really hot division. You got Charlotte, you got, you know, Asuka, you've got Rhea Ripley. There's some talent there. You could add some pieces there. Nia and Shayna could drop the tag titles and become singles wrestlers on Raw again. Like, there's some stuff you could do on Raw. It's talented people. Just focus on them. You know, more time for them. More focus on Charlotte. More focus on Rhea Ripley. More focus on Asuka. More focus on everybody. Shayna and Nia. You know, just focus more on them on Raw because, like, I'd much rather watch them than Drew McIntyre. I just think WWE needs to pay more attention to the women's wrestling, not put them on an island. So it's like, yeah, here, this will placate you WWE fans. Just deal with it. All you people bitching about no women on the show, here, here's their own show. And it sucks, and no one watches, you know? I don't think that's the answer. I know Mick Foley advocated for that, but I disagree. I love Mick Foley, but I think they just need to do more. I think Lance Storm, like, replied and was like, I agree with what Lance Storm was saying. They just need to focus more on the women on the actual shows.
Well, I mean, I think he mentioned it where it's like there's already, like, 7 hours of programming. There might even be more than that, but, like, instead of, like, adding an extra hour or two of more programming, why don't just make do what you have and, yeah, focus it more towards that. Like, maybe dedicate an hour or two of Raw and it's just women's wrestling. I think you can definitely do – I mean, to me, it kind of feels like Raw is like that almost anyways. Mm-hmm. Might as well just say that's the way it's going to be, so.
Yeah. I think they, I mean, they don't have to say it outright, you know, just mix it in, you know, it doesn't have to be just this block is the women's block of whatever, but just do more with them. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. I say it all the time, man. It's not rocket science. It's pro wrestling.
Super chat. Super chat.
Seriously. Thank you to Doug Hepburn for the super chat. He says, go Habs, go. Take that, Antoinette. Whoa. I guess there's a hockey.
Yay, go Habs.
Hockey beef going on.
We'll see. Come the playoffs.
Oh, not Antoinette. Playoffs. Antoinette fighting back. She says, go Leafs, go, and clinched a spot. I don't know what that means.
Because they're probably going to face each other in the playoffs. Probably. Ooh. But we'll wait and see. It's not confirmed yet, the Leafs and the Canadiens. But that's not confirmed yet because the Canadiens can still finish third. So wait and see.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know about that. Honestly, you started talking about hockey, and like I didn't hear anything you just said. Like my brain okay. doesn't... I started playing with this knife, and I got distracted. I can't. Well, hockey talk like just goes in one ear out the other for me. I can't retain it.
Well, just realize Montreal, Toronto, they could be fighting right. against each other. That's all you need to know. Maybe. Ooh. It's not confirmed yet.
In the playoffs?
Yeah, maybe.
That would be big. In the first round type of thing?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, maybe. And when would that start?
Because it'd be at the end of the month, I think. But that's it. We still have this whole, we still have the whole month of May, pretty much, to figure out if that's what's going to happen, so.
Right. And, so it's completely unclear. That's kind of like the Red Sox and the Yankees playing each other in the first round of a playoff series, right? It's like, you know, right?
Well, it's happened.
Put it in my perspective. Just put it in words I can understand. Doug thanks me for tolerating hockey. Thank you, Doug. I mean, I tolerate it. I mean, I know that it exists, and I am fine with it. I'm fine with it existing. I am oblivious to what is happening because I have zero interest. But I recognize
when there was riots because of the hockey, you were on the air, actually.
Was I?
Oh, yes, you were. You're telling people to stop rioting. Stop smashing cars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, for hockey, it seems unnecessary, right? Because what, they won? Do they win?
Yeah, they won. Yeah, they won. They won a round.
That is the most ludicrous shit I've ever heard. People here riot when they win. I can understand rioting when they lose because, like, you know, you're pissed. You know, you want to smash something. Like, when I'm pissed, you know, maybe want to smash a thing. You know, I get that. I understand that. But when I win, like, I've never wanted to smash something in victory. Destruction of property in victory is a strange thing that I think is unique to Montreal, maybe? Maybe, right? I don't know. It's weird. I'm sure other people in other places do it. I just don't really follow pro sports, so I don't know. But, living in Montreal is always weird when they win a thing and then they smash things. It's like, what? Why would you have a victory riot? That is a strange one.
Well, you live here. You understand there's strange people here.
I mean, I understand that there are strange people here, but I don't really understand that mentality of, we won, let's tear the city to the ground. Like, what? I mean, I understand wanting to tear the city to the ground in certain instances, you know, out of frustration, but not out of victory. It's bizarre. It's bizarre culture that you clearly see I'm not anywhere near part of. It's not my thing. But go Habs, because I know I have a lot of friends and family that love them, so I'm always happy to see them do well and encouraging them, and yes, go. But, I mean, I don't care myself. Right? Anyways, Aleister Black did his Tales from the Dark Father reading again. He talked about high school and going to a good college and picket fences and a date to the prom. And those are all lies. It's not reality. And my father taught me that that was all nonsense. And, ooh, it's all bad. I'm Aleister Black. Ooh. I mean, it was as bad as last week, right? It's not good.
Well, again, it just drove home the fact that it seems like the Undertaker's his dad. So the Undertaker really needs to come in the storyline. Because it definitely seems like it's the Undertaker. No, from that cartoon.
Do you think it's Undertaker? I don't know.
I mean, hat.
It would make sense. The hat, yeah. He was dressed as a bit of an Undertaker-esque. You think Undertaker's his dad? Son of Taker, Aleister Black? Have we just discovered Undertaker's last name? The Undertaker Black? His name is Undertaker Black? Taker Black? Father of Aleister?
Well, might be a bastard kid, so, I mean, you know, took another name or something, you know.
I don't think
that happens.
Appropriate,
you know,
to say. That's a meat.
Well, that's accurate. What are you talking about? Not appropriate.
Know.
It's accurate.
I think you're inappropriate. Now, Aleister Black.
Truthful.
You're inappropriate. Now, so it was bad. I mean, sure, if it turns out that Undertaker's his dad, like, maybe I'll be cool with it, but
They'll get him over, man. People will start caring about him.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
I guess. Do you really think that's what it's going to lead to?
I hope there's some sort of connection to the Undertaker. It probably won't be the Undertaker, but if they could at least somewhat link it to him, it would help Aleister so much. Because, like, if he just comes back the way he is, no one's really going to care. Especially with the glasses. He looks stupid.
You don't like the glasses. He's like a hipster Undertaker.
No.
He does look a little bit like Taker's son. Ugh. Ugh. Anyways, I don't like it. He'll feud with somebody at some point. He'll wrestle. Or maybe somebody will have to pick a fight with him. It'll probably be Cesaro, right? Wasn't it Cesaro the first time? Wasn't it?
I think it was Murphy the first time.
But wasn't Cesaro the one being like, I'm going to pick a fight with you? Cesaro at some point did pick a fight with him, right? Remember that?
Yeah, he did. He did. No, there's no question about it. He was one of the victims, no question.
One of the victims. I mean, he's good in the ring, but I have not seen a promo or anything that I've liked from Aleister Black. The gimmick is weird and unclear, you know? It's just not that good. It's just not that good. What is the gimmick? Who is Aleister Black? It's like Stone Cold always says, you know, Dr. Tom Pritchard went to Steve Austin at one point in WCW, and he said, what's so stunning about Steve Austin? And Austin was like, shit, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just trying to wrestle here, brother. Just trying to, you know, put my matches together. I don't really know. But, you know, little light bulb in his head saying, you know, I got to think about more than just, you know, having a good match. A lot of these guys in WWE need to think about more than having a good match. There's a lot of good wrestlers in there, but not a lot of guys with good gimmicks and good ability to talk, right? Aleister Black, promos, I mean, he clearly has something going on between the ears. He's not a dumb guy. He doesn't come off as stupid. He comes off like he could speak, like he's got something to say. It's just the stuff that they're giving him to say is not very good. I think, you know, he could have a gimmick. He could have something going for him. He definitely has a great look, and he can wrestle. He seems to be able to string words together. It's just the words that he's saying are awful. And the tales of the father, the book thing, it's just not good, right?
No, it's not great, but again, not really his fault. I mean, he's being fed lines, being kind of fed a character right here, and he just has to bring it to life kind of thing. Like, I don't really blame a lot of these guys that they don't get over. I mean, WWE doesn't give them really a chance to get over. Especially the way they book them, where it's like they don't really get wins most of the time. So it's kind of hard to build up, especially with these kind of little segments that are very vague and don't mean much.
Yes. I mean, the 50-50 booking doesn't help, but also the promos, you know, and the characters are not clearly defined. The WWE creative staff isn't doing them many favors, but at the same time, some of these guys just aren't performing, right? I'm not blaming Aleister Black for this, though. This is not his fault. It's not Apollo Crews' fault that he's doing this ridiculous gimmick. And I can say that he's performing in it. Like, this is maybe the best version of Apollo Crews. When he doesn't speak, like tonight he didn't really speak. He just kind of acted, and it worked. You know, he wasn't talking. He was just wrestling and doing his thing and telling Commander Aziz to do his bidding and so on. I thought Apollo Crews worked tonight. I thought the Big E Apollo Crews match was good. Big E beats Apollo Crews by disqualification, of course. Commander Aziz, formerly Dabba Kato, he pulls Big E out of the ring. Big E hits his finisher, the big ending, and Commander Aziz saved the Intercontinental Championship from his man Apollo Crews. Saved it for Apollo Crews, and Aziz then tossed Big E into the ring post. Kevin Owens shows up. He makes the save, starts attacking Apollo Crews. Big E and Kevin Owens start beating up on Apollo and Commander Aziz until Sami Zayn hits the ring, hits his kick on Kevin Owens, and then Sami, Apollo, and Aziz take out Big E and Kevin Owens. When the dust cleared, Sami Zayn was holding the Intercontinental Championship. You remember that he's been trying to get this title back for quite some time, and Apollo and Aziz kind of confronted him, and Sami didn't want any problems. He gave the championship back to Apollo and kind of stood there and was like, I'm with you guys, and did a little pose. And then when he went to lift Aziz's arm, Aziz hit him with the Nigerian nail. So Sami just taking it there from Commander Aziz. I feel like we're building towards maybe a four-way, five-way type of situation at WrestleMania Backlash. A lot of different guys making a claim for the Intercontinental Championship. Probably a four-way, right? You got Big E, Apollo, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn all in the mix for the Intercontinental title. A fatal four-way between those guys at WrestleMania Backlash would probably be match of the night. I hope they do that for the Intercontinental Championship. That's what I was left with tonight. And I know that we have, what, two more episodes of SmackDown before WrestleMania Backlash, so we do have, you know, some time to build a match. But watching SmackDown tonight, it seemed like Big E versus Apollo versus Owens versus Sami, Fatal 4-Way, Intercontinental title, that's the way to go.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Four-way makes the most sense. And more likely, it's just going to be, you know, one fall to a finish. And this is a way, too, to get through the Big E storyline without Big E actually taking another loss. I don't think they want Big E to lose at this point. They're still pushing Big E. But I don't think they want Big E to be the champion again. So, this is so Apollo can get away from Big E without losing to him.
Yes. I agree. This is a way for Sami to take the fall and Big E not to actually lose to Apollo, right? Sammy's going to lose this match. Maybe Kevin, but probably not. Sami.
Right, it's probably going to go that way. I mean, maybe it is Kevin, but more than likely it's going to be Sami because that's what usually happens.
That's it. Should be a good match, though, at WrestleMania Backlash. We will be on right after WrestleMania Backlash. We are on after every wrestling show of the week. Mondays after Raw, Wednesdays after Dynamite, and Fridays here after WWE SmackDown. We'll try to have more fun.
There's going
to
be a problem, though.
Monday night. What?
For 2 weeks, because apparently Dynamite is going to be on Fridays at 10 p.m. Like, for 2 weeks, like I think end of May. And like the first week of June. So, and that's going to be disastrous for AEW because that's like the week before they're like a few days right before their pay-per-view. So that's going to be rough.
Whoa.
Especially for us too.
Yeah, what do we do?
Well, I mean, SmackDown will just end, right? So obviously we should do a SmackDown review.
But then when do we do a Dynamite thing? We don't.
Yeah, that might be kind of rough, especially because there's going to be a pay-per-view like on Sunday as well. So that's rough.
Huh. Well, we can't
do... Yeah, it's not ideal.
Yeah, how does that work for us? Well, for wrestling fans, it's fun, though. I mean, maybe we just don't go on. Maybe we just watch the shows and don't do anything. How about that? How about we just
that's
don't
fine,
go?
but
Yeah, let's just not go
that's
on
not
Friday
fun
nights.
for.
Well, yeah.
It's not fun for the people watching. They have nothing to watch now.
Yeah, well, they'll watch Dynamite.
I suppose.
I don't know.
2 weeks
We'll
of that, too. 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks.
Yikes.
I think you said three.
Yeah.
2 weeks in May, 1 week in June. Is it all in a row?
Yeah. I think it's just the last week of May and the first week of June.
Oh, okay. Well, last week of May is the go-home show for their pay-per-view because their pay-per-view is May 30th. May 30th.
Right.
Sunday.
So, yeah, it's going to be May 28th. They're Dynamite at 10 p.m. So, rough.
Yeah, well, we'll
It's
see
be
what
rough
we
for
do.
Glenn, too.
Maybe we won't be on May 28th for after SmackDown. Maybe we'll just watch Dynamite and we won't do a show. How about that? How about that? That could be. I don't know. We'll see. We'll let you know.
Be interesting.
We'll let you know. But I don't know. I kind of want to watch Dynamite. And, you know, we'll see.
Well, it's going to be important Dynamite, too, because it's right before the pay-per-view, right? So you kind of
yeah.
should watch it.
Yeah. People are saying they want to see us do an AEW watch-along while we do a SmackDown recap.
Not impossible.
We'll see. We'll see. You know what you got to do? You got to hit that like button. Hit the like button. Subscribe to the channel. When you subscribe, you click that bell so you get notifications every time we are on. Do that. Hit that subscription. We're trying to build the subscriptions. We need subscribers. We need more subscribers. We need more viewers. We need more likes. All things that you can do very easily. Cost you nothing. Hit that like button. Get subscribers. Become a subscriber if you're not subscribed already. And then maybe we'll be on May 28th. We'll see. How about that? Go to ringsidereport.net to see everything that we do. Become a member of the YouTube channel. Go to donate.ringsidereport.net to support the channel. Become a member, of course. That also supports the channel. We appreciate you. Become a member. We need more members. I see Mako asking for a watch-along. Become a member, Mako. Maybe we'll be doing a watch-along for the Dynamite show if you're a member. Eh? You know what I'm saying? Become a member. There you go. TK liked the video. He knows what's up, right? He knows what's up. And, yeah, merch.ringsidereport.net, donate.ringsidereport.net, so on, so forth. I'll be back Monday night after Raw. Join me. Hopefully Raw's better this week.
Seems get a break. Like, no watch along this week.
Yeah, yeah. I get no watch along this weekend, which is nice. A little break ski. Get to watch my man Yuri Prochaska smash Dominic Reyes tomorrow night. That'll be fun. I think I'm depressing people on Raw on Monday nights. Like people are just they don't wanna watch anymore because it's just like, ah, oh, it's too sad to watch Dave every Monday night talking about how bad Raw is. Join me. I'll try to make it not so sad on Mondays, I guess. I don't know. People are bummed out. I mean, it's a bad show, but, you know, what are you going to do? I'm cracking jokes. I'm trying to make it fun. But... Hey, yeah, that's right, well, Mako. I'm blackmailing you. That's right. That's how it works.
It's bad, too, when you keep saying, like, oh, this was the worst episode I've ever seen of Raw. How many times have you said that? Like, I feel like you almost say that almost all the time now. Like, this is the worst episode of Raw. Like, almost every year you've said that. The last couple of years.
Well, it gets worse, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem to be getting worse? Did you see the
I
show
don't know,
this
like,
week?
I feel like
did you? They threw tomatoes.
No,
they threw tomatoes. Alexa Bliss has a talking doll. I mean, it's hard for me to be happy about this stuff. It's goddamn
right.
Nonsensical. It used to be my favorite show ever, and now it's my least favorite show. It's terrible.
Well, you could be happy because I know you've been asking for AJ Styles to come back. AJ Styles is going to be back on Raw.
Yeah.
This Monday.
Finally. Finally. That'll help. Hopefully Raw is better this week because we'll have the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. All right. That's it. I'll be back Monday night after Raw. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday after the wrestling shows, Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. And I am here with my main dudes, Freddie and AJ, every Thursday night for Ringside Report MMA. Check out last night's show. We gave you some winners for the UFC show going down tomorrow night in Las Vegas. Check us out online at ringsidereport.net. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Ringside Report.